This year's International Women's Podcast Awards are taking place on Thursday, the 29th of September at the Conduit London and via a global live stream. Deborah Frances White from The Guilty Feminist will be hosting the evening, and we cannot wait to celebrate podcasters from all over the world who've created exceptional moments of audio brilliance. Tickets are available now, so to grab one and to find out more about the Amazon Music and Wondery Awards Fund, head to our website at skylarkcollective.co.uk/awards.
Hello everyone, this is Christopher Harris from World Soccer Talk, and here to bring you a special episode of the podcast. As you know, every week we do the deep dive, usually Kartik and I, sometimes Kyle Fansler, discussing TV streaming. Well, this week we have something a little bit different. We will be continuing doing the Thursday TV streaming soccer media deep dive. But we're also going to be bringing you weekly some special episodes on a range of topics. It could include everything from promotion relegation. It could be discussing the Premier League or what's happening in the French League with all the hooliganism going on there. It could be a variety of topics. This week we have an episode. It's entitled Parity in Major League Soccer. Are playoffs the best way to crown a league champion? Hosted by Kyle Fansler, it features a discussion. It's about 15 minutes, so short and sweet, with Kartik Krishnayar and Dave Denholm. Dave Denholm is the radio commentator for LAFC and certainly a fan of Major League Soccer, but has some really strong opinions and some great ideas about possible changes in the future that could improve Major League Soccer. Some of the questions asked are, is parity in Major League Soccer a good thing for league growth? And how could a super team actually help? So here's the episode hosted by Kyle Fansler and with Dave Denholm and Kartik Krishnayar. And then we'll be back Thursday with the weekly TV streaming soccer media, a deep dive, the World Soccer Talk podcast, essentially. And then from time to time, hopefully weekly, we'll have some other audio discussions of other topics that will be great for you, the hardcore soccer fans. Thanks for listening and enjoy this episode.
It's an important time to talk about parity in Major League Soccer. Now, MLS recently released statistics that show that they are one of the most diverse teams in terms of success, especially in American sports, but as we know, MLS does have a playoff system, while other major soccer leagues do not. So we're joined today by Kartik Krishnayar and Dave Denholm, both of whom know very much about Major League Soccer and everything that goes on inside of it. So Dave, I'm going to start with you. You're a radio personality for LAFC. What are your thoughts on a playoff system versus a league system and how that provides more excitement or more parity would be the best word to use for that?
Well, I think if you don't have promotion and relegation, you have to have a playoff. That's the bottom line for me. And I know when you're talking about especially relegation, you're talking the bottom of the table versus, well, who cares if you have a playoff in that sense. I think you need that excitement at the end of the year and something to continue to drive teams to continue to play hard. We saw it this year in MLS. We've seen it in past years where so many teams are still involved on the final day. They call it decision day at MLS, and everybody plays at the same time in each conference virtually. And I think that's big. If you're not going to have the promotion relegation battle, you don't have the setup where, you know, the top five teams go here in that case, Champions League, those kind of things, then you have to have a playoff. And that's not why MLS does it, I don't believe. I think they just, from day one back in 96 and even earlier, they knew they were going to be an American sport that was, you know, American soccer league. So they were going to have playoffs. And I think that's fine. You know, I'm not opposed to playoffs. I just think that you really have to have them the way the league is set up.
Do you think that might take away, though, from a team like New England Revolution, who set records for their performance this season and then got knocked out in what was their first round of the playoffs?
Yeah, sure. It leaves a bad taste in the fans, the team, the organization's mouth. But realistically, with the supporter shield becoming more and more important, as well it should be, they should be pushing that as a league, I believe, even more. I think that kind of takes care of itself. They were the best team in MLS this year. They're not going to win the cup. They're not going to be the champions, but they were the best team in MLS, and they got the supporter shield. They get the automatic spot to the Champions League. And that's one thing I think too, the more you kind of emphasize these rewards, people should be all in on the Champions League and CONCACAF. And that would make it more important to win the supporter shield. Then you have that automatic spot. I personally am. I mean, I know I'm in the minority on that. I love CONCACAF Champions League. So therefore, I know the team who wins the shield is in the Champions League. And that's what I'm looking for my club, LAFC, certainly. We had a good run just last season in the Champions League, nearly winning it. I want to get to the Club World Cup. I want to play the best teams on the pitch. And we've seen Mexican teams do very well. Liga MX sides do very well in the Club World Cup. And I want that to be MLS side. So therefore, you have to take these things seriously when it comes to the supporter shield, no matter what happens in the playoffs. And of course, I love the playoffs too. And I'm, you know, very, you know, all in on that. And you know, I know that's what everybody looks at MLS Cup champions as the league champ, but I also have a lot of respect for the teams that win the supporter shield.
Kartik, what about you? Obviously, you know world soccer and how there's no playoffs in European soccer. What are your thoughts on playoffs in Major League Soccer determining what we say is the best team that season?
Well, the Champions League is like a playoff, right? Because Chelsea has managed to scrape their way to fourth in the Premier League each of the last two seasons, right? They've been nowhere near competing for titles, yet they're the champions of Europe. So I know a lot of European fans of the European game like to look at MLS and say, oh, you have playoffs. That's so inauthentic. Well, I think the Champions League, when it was for champions prior to 1992, before they started letting all these other teams in, third, fourth place teams from certain leagues, was more authentic than it is now. Playoffs, I think, yes, you have to have playoffs in Major League Soccer and in USL, in both the top American leagues, because you don't have a balanced schedule where everybody is playing everybody twice, right? Or whatever number of matches they would play each other to balance the schedule. However, I disagree with Major League Soccer letting 14 of the 27 teams into the playoffs. What that does is reward mediocrity. It then allows guys like, I know Ochoa is now the villain, right? So I'm going to pick on him a little bit. It allows guys like Ochoa to wind up the opposition and get his team that is the 14th best team in Major League Soccer to the brink of a conference title, right? It is not, I think, a fair representation of the season. I agree with everything Dave said about CONCACAF Champions League. Monterrey, Tigres both have pushed top European sides in the last two seasons, right? At the World Cup, Liverpool got pushed by Monterrey, Tigres pushed Bayern. I'd love for MLS sides to be there. I think the MLS sides that need to be there are the supporters shield winners. And I think if you limit the playoffs to four or six teams, the best of the best, you're getting your New England's, your Seattle's, your Portland's, your LAFC's every single season, Philly Union now under Jim Curtin. Story, fantastic team competing for that. Not the possibility of getting Real Salt Lake as a 14th place team into the CONCACAF Champions League to represent MLS and probably get eliminated at the group stage. So I think it's also a competitive thing for MLS in terms of Champions League and continental competition and global competition. Do you want these teams that get hot for 3 weeks in one-off matches, maybe win a bunch of matches on penalties like Salt Lake did, taking one of your spots, lifting the trophy and then taking one of your spots in Champions League. I think playoffs are fine. You have to have them given the schedule constraints, huge continent. You can't have everyone play each other twice. Just make it four or six teams. It doesn't have to be 14 teams.
Dave, you're closely affiliated with LAFC, and they're, relatively speaking, a new team. And I think Major League Soccer is an interesting spot just because, due to the nature of the country, it's so spread out and so populated that they have more teams than we see in Europe or South America or anywhere else. So they have approaching 30 teams, I believe, in the coming years. So with expansion, does that make parity more important? I mean, we know in England and Spain that these bottom tier teams, or I should say the second half kind of table teams, they're, you know, constantly fighting for that spot. But in Major League Soccer, since everything's so spread out and so diverse in terms of where teams play and just how many teams there are, do you think that makes parity more important just to be able to keep people interested?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I think it's a very interesting topic. It's a good question to ask. It does make parity more important. And I know that seems like an Americanized version of the sport, but, you know, I have a buddy who lives in Brighton He's a diehard Brighton and Hove Albion fan. And he knows every year they have no chance to win. No chance. And I know everybody points to Leicester City, which was like throwing a, you know, a dart and trying to hit a bullseye 1,000 feet away. Okay, it happens. It can happen. Okay, but realistically, they have no shot. So that is what American sports fans will just will not accept overall. If you're trying to grow the sport, I know it seems romantic, promotion and relegation. There's nothing romantic about promotion and relegation when you're in relegation. If you're in the battle, it's ugly, it's dirty, it's dangerous to your club's future. Now, again, I kind of would prefer it, to be perfectly honest, as much as I'm painting it in a negative light. I would prefer promotion and relegation, but it's just not realistic. And parity drives a league when you don't have promotion and relegation. You simply must have parity so that teams have a shot. We don't know who's going to win MLS Cup in 2022. No one does. And if they tell you they do, they're just lying. We know one of six teams is going to win the Premier League every year. Again, a crazy exception now and again. I know West Ham looks good right now and all this stuff. We'll see some teams sneaking up and down a little bit. And I'm using the Premier League. It could be certainly La Liga's worst, the Bundesliga, the worst of all. Let's be realistic. So I'm not trying to just pick on the Prem, but to me, your question is absolutely valid. When you don't have the promotion and relegation, I would take it that step that you must have parity. You must really not know who's going to win year in and year out. Now, again, we have some good clubs in MLS that you know are going to be competitive. Certainly, you know, the Seattle Sounders are such a good organization. As much as I don't like them, they're going to be right there. I sports hate the Portland Timbers worse than any franchise in sports, with the Pittsburgh Steelers just a little below them. But I know they're a great organization, so I know they're going to be certainly a threat to win every year. But we don't know who's going to win. Would it surprise you greatly if Houston Dynamo somehow made a huge turnaround in 2022 and won the cup? I don't think so, and that's good.
Kartik, like I mentioned, it's hard to compare MLS to other leagues just because there's so many different factors, but could there actually be some benefit to having what we call like a super team or a team that could grow the game's popularity outside of the United States?
Yes, and I thought Atlanta United might be that team, and Seattle certainly has the potential to be that team. Maybe now LAFC, because LAFC is in a primary market, right? I do think that's something that was something when I worked at the NASL, as Dave remembers, we felt the New York Cosmos and maybe to a lesser extent, the Tampa Bay Rowdies and Fort Lauderdale Strikers were that, and that we could export the Cosmos and grow popularity for our league. Now, the downside of that is it created a huge imbalance in terms of the league. I mean, the Cosmos were winning the league most every year, and it was a real competitive issue. So you could, from a marketing standpoint, it probably works to grow the league abroad. But look at the Bundesliga. I think the Bundesliga is a great example. Bayern Munich is winning the league every single year, and that's turning fans outside Germany off the Bundesliga. However, I will tell you, if we're talking about parity, I think the Bundesliga has a lot more parity than the Premier League. I know half the viewers are going to get really angry about that, but you have clubs like Freiburg and Union Berlin and Arminia Bielefeld. If they run their business in the 50+1 structure that Germany has, if they run their business well, they get promoted and they hit kind of the maximum point they can hit. Mainz is another one of late. Mainz has had an up and down history, although they produced, you know, Wolfgang Frank and Jurgen Klopp and these great managers, but they haven't had a great history of where they've been in the table. And if you don't run your business well, like Schalke, like Werder Bremen, like Hamburg, you sit in the second division. That doesn't happen in England. They don't have big clubs like that sitting for years in the second division in England. So I do think there's a case to be made with the one super club. You can actually achieve parity as well as Germany has. Germany is also, I think, tough to compare to other leagues because they have a different ownership model than any other place. So maybe like MLS, it's not analogous to any other place.
Dave, I know you've talked a lot about promotion and relegation. Do you ever see that being a possibility in Major League Soccer? I know we have USL, and I'm a quote-unquote a Tampa Bay Rowdies fan just down the road from them, but do you ever see a time where we kind of integrate a lower league into Major League Soccer and get that promotion relegation going?
I've had a plan for it in MLS for a number of years that I've talked about, and I'll share it with you. I don't think it's necessarily in the near future by any means. But my plan would be, don't stop at 30 teams. You got to go to 40. Then you split up into an MLS 1, MLS 2. They're all under the umbrella of MLS. They're all in the same league, quote unquote. But you only play MLS 1 teams if you're in, you know, certainly like you'd have the promotion and relegation, probably 3 to 4 teams, depending on what you prefer. And but everybody would have the same salary cap. All television money is split equally among 40 teams, and they all are on television as much as the other per se. You know, I mean, obviously with a tip of the cap to teams like LAFC and LA Galaxy, and you know, we've seen that now. But everybody would be on television throughout MLS 1 and 2. It's a one big family. It's just that if you struggle and you go down to MLS 2, you're playing those teams for that year rather than so I still think there's some room for that within MLS as an organization. I don't believe we're going to be seeing, you know, some 5-6 divisions in an LA, you know, in an American tier system where you're going to have promotion and relegation where the Rochester Rhinos somehow get back and, you know, build up or whatever. I just don't see that in the near future. Again, I'm for it in principle, but I think you could have some kind of system like that, 40 teams, where it's kind of a hybrid among MLS. Yes, it's still a closed system technically with only 2 divisions, but it could be a nice kind of balance for what people are looking for. The diehard pro rel people might be satiated by that.
Kartik, I'm curious as to your thoughts as Dave's plan for a 40-team league that gets divided in two.
Yeah, I love that idea. I think we're more likely to see pro rel more quickly from USL. Jake Edwards, Alec Papadakis are already making moves, potentially shifting the calendar and then aligning the divisions, USL Championship 1 and 2 to that. NISA, who operates a third division now in the country, I've actually been having some conversations with them about their plans for promotion and relegation of late. So other leagues are doing it. Now, would MLS at the top do it? Maybe. They also now launched MLS Next Pro, and maybe that becomes the place you put those second division teams eventually. That was launched this week, and that's and Rochester, partially owned by Jamie Vardy, is going to be one of the independent clubs joining it. So maybe, but I think it's more realistic in USL or NISA at this point, which will leave MLS as kind of a closed off first division at the top of the pyramid.
Yeah, it's strictly a financial question, yeah. Realistically. That's the realism of it. You had men and women in ownership groups, including teams that are still to come, St. Louis, paying hundreds of millions of dollars to get into MLS. Now, you can argue with that, okay, but that's the reality of it right now in the near future, that it's just, you know, on balance in terms from a business perspective, it's just unfair to then open it up to everyone to possibly work their way in. What would happen to a team? Would the Tampa Bay Rowdies be forced to pony up $300 million to then join if they won their way into MLS? That's not fair either, certainly, in a pro rel system. So right now, it's really a business, I would think, a business decision to hold that back, certainly in MLS.
Last quick point, Kyle. There are a number of MLS owners that I've talked to in my previous work on this specific issue that would like pro rel. More that don't want it, but there are some of the newer owners, Dave, that even though they ponied up the $300 million, they're ambitious, right? They want to be in a competitive league, and they think it makes the league more competitive, and they think it makes their investment maybe worth more. They never think they're going to get relegated, though, right? That's part of the thing. Right. So they think their value will go up because they'll always be the first.
Maybe even some of the old guard could stomach an MLS 1 and 2 where you do have the same salary cap. You are splitting the revenues, how they split them now, certainly a bigger, you know, pie, you would think, but more teams, 40 teams, admittedly. But that, you know, even if you went to 36 and made it 18 and 18, like the Bundesliga, I mean, there is some possibility of that, I would think, you know, in my head, thinking it through, I don't think you're going to see it. You know, an MLS 3, MLS 4, you know, the third division, the fourth division, all wrapped into one, certainly. This would be a very scaled back plan, but I think it could work.
All right, Dave and Kartik, really appreciate you coming on. Hope we didn't run too long, and hope you guys have a great rest of your days.
Thank you.
Thank you.